And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
Right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. On this show, we have two general goals. Our two goals are this. First, we want to take the best people, voices, ideas in the underground, the things that all too often we overlook or miss because no spotlight from the mainstream is being shined. I don't know what the past tense of shine is. I just outed myself as being a moron. The mainstream is not shining any light on any of these nooks and crannies in the underground. All the best stuff in our world is being produced by the conscious, you know, heartfelt people in the underground, and the fucking mainstream just keeps on wanting to pump out Taylor Swift bullshit. I mean, Taylor Swift might be fine. I have no idea. I've never listened to Taylor Swift, so I have no idea what she sounds like. But in my mind, it sounds awful. And because the mainstream would prefer to shine a light on her than all the greatness in the underground, we at Dispatches take it upon ourselves to find those people who are being overlooked, the best of the best, and bring them onto the show, bring their ideas out into the light of day, and shine a big, bright, blasted light right in the fucking face of that shit. That's one thing that we like to do on the show. On the other side, we want to take a look at the mainstream, not necessarily the Taylor Swift moments, but the other stuff. We want to take a look squarely in the face of the monstrous mainstream that we all swim in every day, despite the fact that we might want to like not admit that we know what's happening in the mainstream, or that you really know what Taylor Swift actually sounds like. Wait, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But we all fucking get bombarded by this all the time. We don't want to act like it's not there. So we want to take a look at that mainstream bullshit and just sift through it, see if there are any kernels of goodness in that giant bung heap, and pick them out, put them back in our mouth, and maybe get something good out of it. Maybe get something nutritious out of that giant turd that is the mainstream. Maybe there's something good in there. Maybe there are some lessons to learn. We want to sift through that and find out if there are. And if not, we just want to shit on it. I guess that means we're shitting on the shit, which I guess could be uncomfortable. Unless, I guess if it's a shit pile, then I guess it's shit on top of shit anyway. Whatever. Nonetheless, that is what we want to do on this podcast. We want to find the best things in the underground. We want to bring them up. We want to smear them right in your face. And then at the same time, we want to look at the mainstream and see if there's anything worthwhile in that that giant pile of shit and pull that out too. That's our goal. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this podcast. That's why I brought my good friend and fellow musician Enrique all the way here from Lowell, Massachusetts. He came to New York City just to do this fucking podcast for all of you fucking people. So I hope you fucking appreciate it. Enrique from an incredible band, Los Bungalitos. He's here today in the studio. He brought a couple of friends who are patiently, quietly sitting here and listening to us talk tons of shit. And I really appreciate their quietness and their contentness not to burst into our show and tell us we're all morons, which they probably will. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I really want to say thank you to Enrique for coming all the way over from Los Bungalitos, from Lowell, Massachusetts, to do this podcast with me. He's a brilliant man. He's an incredible musician. He's been doing Los Bungalitos for a long time. We're going to get into the history of Los Bungalitos. What is this music? Where does it come from? Like, what are they doing? What's their new record all about? They just put out a new record. It's incredible. I was able to play a show with them the other day and hear some of the tunes, and I now have that record in my hot little hands, and I'm very excited for you all to hear it as well. But Los Bungalitos has been one of my favorite bands for a very long time. I am blown away by these guys constantly. I absolutely fucking love this band. And All Torn Up has been lucky enough to play with them for years and years now. And Los Bungalitos has been one of these bands on the East Coast that sort of everybody comes through and plays with because they're such incredible people and because they're such incredible musicians that they just kind of get a chance to play with everybody, and rightfully so. And I just don't think that there's enough folks and the rest of the country and then the rest of the world who know this band, and it's to their chagrin, because I fucking love this music. Honestly, we're going to talk about this in the show, but I think this is a collection of just absolutely freakish musicians, and it's intimidating playing with all of them. It's intimidating using the same gear as all of them, and they're super humble about it. It's all my, like, shortcomings and paranoia and anxiety or whatever, and lack of self-confidence, but they are so good, and I just love them so much, and I'm so glad that Enrique was able to come and do this show today, and that all of you out there get to fucking hear this wonderful human being talk about this incredible music. While some of you may not know Los Bungalitos yet, we're going to play a couple tunes from them, including from their new record, Nueva Inglaterra, which I think is, well, we're going to get the whole idea of what behind the new album at some point in this show. But Nueva Inglaterra is Los Bungalitos' brand new record. We're going to play a song right off the bat, so if you don't know them. But I do want to say, even if you don't know them and you're like, why the fuck am I listening to this show with Joey Steele, who I don't give a fuck about, Enrique, who is in a band, I'm not even sure who this is yet. Let me explain to you why I think this is important. First of all, Enrique is an incredible musician who has got an amazing perspective and an incredible head on his shoulders, and I think is a very overlooked band and musician. And I think you're not only going to get a lot out of learning about this band and hearing this music, if you're into punk, this is where you should be, but also I think Enrique is going to bring a perspective that is really worthwhile. This is a fucking fun band. They're not Joey Steele. They're not hitting you over the head with politics constantly. Here's a band that are very conscious, thoughtful people making very fun music. And I think they're going to come at this with a very fun perspective and bring you something reflective that we don't always get talking to people who just make explicitly political tunes all the time. I'm excited to talk to Enrique. I'm excited to hear what he has to say. Not only on the state of the world, which we're going to talk about in the second half of the episode, we're going to talk about where things are at politically in this world a little bit, talk a little bit about the environmental impact on places like Puerto Rico, where Enrique is originally from. And we're also going to talk about, how music moves people and changes people and where incredible music comes from. Because I think people think that we're like sitting in the lab. I can't stress enough, Enrique is an amazing musician, and all of the guys in Los Bungalitos are fucking incredible. And in my mind, these are like mad scientists sitting in a lab somewhere concocting this insane fucking music. And in reality, they're just a bunch of dudes fucking who get together to make some shit, and it turns out incredible. And I think that there is something worthwhile in listening to that story and realize and like demythitizing. Again, that might not be a word. Demythifying, I guess, probably not a word either. Taking the myth out of these band making scenarios. So I think there's a lot to learn. We're gonna get through all of that. Thank you everybody for joining us on this journey. Thank you, Enrique, for coming over and doing this show. Thank you to the fellas in Los Bungalitos for making this music and not coming to my house, because it would have been very confusing because you all talk a ton of shit. So I'm glad it was just Enrique for this show. You can come another time, obviously. I think you're all amazing. Anyway, we're going to talk a bunch about that. We're going to talk about wrestling a little bit. We're going to talk about some weird shit. I think we're going to get into some hillbilly shit at some point. We'll see how that goes. We'll get Enrique's best impression of a hillbilly jackass, possibly Joey, at some point. Anyway, it's going to be a good episode. I think you're going to have a lot of fun. There are tons of episodes up on our website. Go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There's an archive section up there. There's a merch page up there. You can get my brand new album that I just put out with, or my brand new record I just put out with Skullcaster, a new split record that we put out with a band from Texas called Escape from the Zoo. And then there's a bunch of other shit on that web store. There's also a donate section. If you are in a position where you can be giving this show a few bucks, we really appreciate it. This does cost a lot of money to make this show happen. I know it doesn't seem like it, because it seems like we're DIY as fuck, which we are, but there is a large cost involved. So if you're in a position to be sharing your income with us, we appreciate that. Even $5 helps. There's a donate section on our webpage, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. But if you can't, it's all good. The show's going to be up for free, as this one is. Subscribe to us. All of this is, again, on our website, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com, and social media. Thank you all for getting down. Thank you to Enrique for getting down with us. Thank you to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for playing us every Wednesday night on their incredible programming over at Real Punk Radio. And, yeah, let's get to this interview. We're going to start off with a song from this brand new record, Nueva Inglaterra, from Los Pangalitos, from Lowell, Massachusetts, which you can get on their website, lospangalitos.bandcamp.com. Los Pangalitos sounds just like you think it sounds. It's spelled just like the way you think it sounds. Not hard. Los Pangalitos. We're going to get to what that name is as well at some point in the podcast. But here is a brand new song from the brand new record that just got released in September, Nueva Inglaterra from Los Pangalitos. And then we're going to get to the interview with Enrique. So get down. Terrible, like, whatever millennial posture. I don't know if we're millennials or not, but I feel like.
Yeah, I think we're on the cusp.
I think anyone with a bad body position is a millennial. Maybe that's not. Maybe I'm like Generation X. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who
I think
really cares?
What's before millennial?
I don't know. I think whatever. It's probably the Pepsi generation. I don't know. Whoever's lucky enough. Honestly, people. I feel like people should be fighting for me to be part of their generation.
Yeah.
Like they. I shouldn't be like, oh, I'm this generation. Like, who wants me? You know, it's like dodgeball. It's like obviously, every team wants me on their team.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not
Maybe
true.
For the wiffle ball team. I'm like too good at wiffle ball.
Are you really good at wiffle ball?
Oh yeah.
Is wiffle ball even a sport? Are you just fucking with me? Is wiffle ball a sport? Is that real?
It is.
I thought wiffle
sport.
Ball was just a bat like people just hit me with when I was like a little kid.
It's a real sport.
How the fuck do you play wiffle ball?
It's like basically like baseball. There's like many variants of wiffle ball.
Multiple versions of. Not only is there wiffle ball, but there's multiple versions of it.
Well, yeah, you can just like basically you can play from two people. Up to like 9 people.
I'm not taking this bullshit bait. So you're telling me, first of all, I couldn't care less about baseball, but now I'm interested because it's wiffle ball. And you're telling me you can play baseball with fake plastic bats with 2 people.
Yeah.
Well, they're fucking shit.
No.
Bullshit. Like, I'm not falling for this at all.
So actually, if you go to wiffle.com.
No, don't go to that. It's a spam site. You're going to
No.
Do
I mean,
not
I
go to that site.
I think it's either wiffleball.com or wiffle.com. That's actually like the real rules. So the real rules about wiffle ball, you actually are not even supposed to have runners.
Now we're talking my game.
Just pretty much like you're supposed to draw lines, and if the ball lands in a certain spot, then you have an imaginary runner. So that's a way you can play with 2 people. So you just like if you hit the ball and it lands over here, then it counts as a single or as a double or as a triple or a home run.
Oh.
And that's how you play with 2 people until you get 3 outs. But then you could also play like if you're playing mini baseball. So you can have people and then you set up like bases and all that stuff. Man,
this is like the baseball of the future where they're not even going to have anyone running and it's just going to be obese bowlers who are like, if you hit the ball in this spot, then you get a fucking run. And you never actually have to move.
Well, yeah, there's actually like a thing in wiffle ball that it's like you have like a, you know, depending on how you play it too. So a lot of people use the strike zone as a share, right? Or like a bucket, right? So if you hit the bucket, right, and the ball stays on the share or goes inside the bucket, even if it's your first pitch, it's an automatic out. So there's like, it's like a lot of different variants of wiffle ball, you know. It's awesome.
I don't believe any of the bullshit you're telling me at all right now. 0% of what you're saying is true. Definitely no one listening should ever go to any websites Enrique is suggesting you go to, because you're immediately going to get hacked.
You know, just as my bandmates, actually, like, they make me play left-handed so that, like, I'm like, you know.
You're
so
good.
Because I'm good. I have to play left-handed. I'm a righty, so.
I believe you're great at sports. I just don't believe you're good at telling me what websites to go to. That's a fucking immediate
I mean, I don't know.
Head.
I can actually look for it right now.
No, don't
Google
use my
it.
Internet
Google
for that.
Football rules, it's there.
No.
It's true.
Okay, listen. We've been recording now a lot of wiffle ball shit talking. Please, no one who, in the wiffle ball community, like, sending messages about the validity of fucking wiffle ball, because I believe all of you fucking dorks. I believe it's all true. Don't send me a message. I'm sure you're fine. Also, I think Enrique's full of shit. But let's get to the crux of why you're here. Okay. Enrique is here. He's from an incredible band in I'm going to say Boston, but he's from Lowell, Massachusetts. I just hate saying the word Lowell.
Yeah, say Lowell, man. I represent Lowell.
I mean, the city's a beautiful city, but when I say the word Lowell, it sounds like I'm saying, like, some other word. It sounds
like LOL?
Yeah. No, like,
dude, like, we all say that. Like, that's like a joke in Lowell.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, you know, if you're from there, like, if you're like, you know, you go over there, they say, oh, we're going to Lowell. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, LOL, you know?
That's not funny at all, Lowell.
I think it's funny. I mean, I love Lowell, but I still think it's funny, and I'll say
it's a hard word to say. It's a hard word to say, Lowell. I sound
yeah,
like
you
I
say Lowell. Like
I
LOL.
Feel like I've had a lobotomy LOL. When I say that word. Like I said, Lowell, my brain is broken. Like Lowell.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not making fun of the town. I mean, I am sort of, but I don't. The town itself is a beautiful place. It's a nice town.
It's awesome.
Wonderful bands coming out of there, especially Los Bungalitos. But you're here for one main reason, is that I want to know. What do you think is the likelihood of The Rock running for president in 2020? That's the main reason you're here. Is I want to understand what you think of the possibility of that.
I don't know, man. I will say.
Did you know you were coming here to answer that for the question?
You completely threw me like a big curveball.
I thought there was
like,
the fucking was like, obvious question. Yeah. That was so obvious.
I know you were going to ask me some type of question related to like wrestling, but yeah. I didn't know like was going to be that one.
That's the one on everyone's mind. And I feel like no one is better to answer that question other than The Rock, other than you. I feel like you are at the crux of this.
You know what? I actually think Nick Lawrence, our guitar player, will be even better equipped to answer that question. Yeah. But
if I asked Nick that, he would just walk away from me. He'd be like, and walk away. He would just like giggle and walk away.
No, I think you'll get his attention with that.
Okay.
One. But yeah, if you say my humble opinion is like, definitely. Like, why wouldn't he run? Like, think about it. He's a Rock.
Yo, I'm watching wrestling.
Actually, the Dwayne now.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Watching wrestling in like 1997 and
that's
like playing
era.
Like WWF Warzone on the PlayStation and like fucking back up circle triangle fucking rock bottoming every mankind and humanity. It was obvious to me at the time that The Rock was eventually going to be president. Like it was obvious.
Oh yeah.
It was like no question about it. He's the people's champion.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is kind of weird. Isn't he like a Republican though?
I mean, I don't vote. And if I did vote, I wouldn't vote Republican. And if I did vote for Republican, it would be for The Rock.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ifs.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I know, like, he's, like, there's this talk about him, like, wanting to be president. But, like, I don't even know where he stands.
Yeah.
I'm just like, all right, it's The Rock. I mean, he just probably just wants to do many people's elbows on everyone,
exactly.
You know? Just
it's
goes
the people's elbow, you know?
Yeah.
It's for the people. He's been doing it for the people for a fucking a generation now.
Yeah, been before millennials were a thing.
Exactly. Before we knew what a millennial was, he's been dropping the people's elbow.
Yeah, so to this day.
Rock, if you're listening to this, which you probably are.
Yeah, just tweet at The Rock.
You should run, and if you're looking for campaign staff, I feel like we got the left side covered, you know? Like, I could cover the stupid, radical, like, lefties, and, like, Enrique can get all the fucking rad musicians on board.
Yeah.
And you'd have, like, maybe 2% of the population voted for you.
Yeah, already, just right there. would it go as high as 2%?
I don't know. No, if all of the people we knew or could talk to would vote, it wouldn't even be 2%.
Yeah.
Also, don't vote. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't either.
We could talk about that in the second half. More importantly, let's actually get to something serious as we've ruined the entire first segment. Let's talk about Los Bungalitos. Let's talk about the new record.
Awesome.
I call Los Bungalitos like melodic thrash metal. I don't know what I should call it. How would you characterize it?
Man, that is the $1 million question right there.
Well, you better fucking answer this shit, or so, this podcast is done.
No. It's kind of interesting. I guess when we first started, we wanted to be more like of a, punk rock band, I guess, more like a hardcore band. But, so the way we've evolved, I guess, musically, yeah, you can say it's like thrash, melodic thrash metal.
I'd say black thrash punk. I wouldn't put, other than Tim, like trying to push you guys into a metal world. Tim, your drummer. I feel like it's punk as fuck.
The
drumming is almost too good to be considered punk.
Yeah,
it's like name. That's the difference between punk and metal. Is if you have a really good drummer, then you're a metal band.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like I would say, let's just be safe. Like, I always consider, like, hardcore the in-between, like, mm-hmm. cloud. So let's just say, like, a hardcore band, because we do have, like, very punk songs, kind of like, I don't know, like, Bad Religion, but we also have, like, grindy songs. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, the safe spot, you know, if you go at the extreme all the way to the metal side or to the punk side, I guess we're, like, fall under hardcore, I guess, by default.
No, I think that's a safe place to put you. But there is this thrashy element that I think is super strong in your music that I like. That, a punk band that can play thrashy music that doesn't want to be associated too closely with thrash culture. No offense to thrash culture.
And those flip-brimmed hats.
The flip-brimmed hats are great, but the fucking rest of thrash culture is kind of deplorable. I don't know if it's like the Trump of punk or something like that.
It can be.
But, I mean, incredible music. I don't know, how did you guys, I don't actually even know, but we played music with you guys for a long time. I don't even know how you all got together, because to me, it's a collection of, like, the best musicians on the East Coast, and you all happen to live in fucking Lowell, which I don't understand, again, either. Not intending to fucking insult Lowell, but, like, how does such great musicians all live in Lowell together?
All right, I'm gonna answer that question. So,
Julius is a freak.
Nick
is a freak.
Yeah.
Joe is a fucking freak.
Yeah.
And, like, he plays funk and punk and, like, happens to do both well. And I fucking hate funk. No offense, Joe. But funk is a terrible music, and he does everything so well. Tim is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Like, how do all these people come together into a band?
All right. So let's just kind of rewind here. You know, I guess we have to go back in the wheel of time. So back in around 2002, 2003, I had this radio show back in UMass Lowell, and it was called It's All About the Chocolate Chip Cookies, right? That was the name of the radio show. And I just pretty much played, punk and, like, a lot of, like Latin American punk and hardcore, like contemporary American hardcore and whatnot. So one night, I'm doing the show, because I did Friday nights, like, 9 to midnight, and... And I'm just, like, straight up rocking out, like, headphones on, like, looking at the next record I'm gonna play, and all of a sudden I turn around, and sitting right across the desk was, like, Julius, like, quietly, like, staring at me,
creeping the fuck out.
He didn't even say hi, and I'm just like, whoa, it's like late at night, I'm like, who the fuck is this person, right? So ended up being Julius, and then he goes, "Oh, I'm your intern." I'm like, "Oh shit!" You know what I mean? That's freaking awesome. So anyway, so we started, like, talking and whatever, and there was, like, this little segment that, like, that I would do that was called Julius. I think it was called Julius's Corner, but I would let him play for, like, about half an hour. He can pick up whatever music he wanted and he could play it. But every time he would play music, it was very similar to what I liked. So, and we, like, really connected with that. And then, but he was my intern through either that semester or the next one. And then, we had, like, such a good, like, friendship and chemistry that I was like, hey, I want you to, like, sit at the show with me next year. And it's like, okay. So, we started doing that. And then, one time we would always have, like, the same, like, 4 or 5 songs that I would, like, choose to, like, end the show. That was, like, my thing. Like, okay, these are my last songs because I really like these songs and, like, finishing up a set.
Yeah.
And, so we're playing the songs, and I was like, oh, man, I played drums in a few bands at the time, And I was like, oh man, I would love to like sing in a band, you know, because I love like how like hardcore singers go crazy, you know, like people just jump. I was like, oh, I want to do that. Like, I don't get to experience that because I'm like a drummer. Like, no one cares about the drummer. So
that's bullshit. The only reason you wanted to do that because you didn't want to carry any more drums in, which is the dream of every real drummer to be a singer, to never have to carry any more gear.
I mean, yeah.
I wanted to dance around and get crazy, a.k.a. I didn't want to have to be responsible for the drum kit.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
It's fair.
To an extent, yeah. Right? And then we're talking about, oh, man, we should start a band, like, for sure. Start this band. And then one day, one night, we're like, okay, let's do it. Like, just out of nowhere. And so the very next day, we went to UMass Lowell. And we were all music majors, so I think that may answer like a part of your question. So,
all of you were.
All of us except Joe. But Joe wasn't in the band originally. Mm. At this point, it wasn't Joe. So
who was playing bass then?
So our friend Dan Bennett, who was actually the person that filmed our video. Okay. For he's our original bassist, Dan Bennett. Awesome dude. So he was our original bassist. And then, the very next day, we just like, and that's kind of how I met Tim. Like, I remember seeing him from around campus and whatnot, but I had never like really hung out with him. Like, I know he was like into like punk and all that stuff, but never really hung out.
Oh, he was in the ska, so there's a reason why you didn't.
Well, actually, the ska band was after Los B.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of started like maybe like a year or two after. Okay. That. Yeah, right. That was in the phase. But then you know, that was the thing. Like, I was in bands; they were all in bands because Dan and Tim at the time played in this band called Fell Silence. And I don't remember if Julius was in a band at that current moment. But like, it was one thing. Like, we only had like four songs, right? Four or five songs that we would play whenever really our other bands weren't playing. You know, we did like we do have like a really awesome show that we play with all these awesome bands in the area. It's forever called Harmless Holiday. That's one of the things I just wanted to bring out through that. Like, that was the epitome of Los B, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Do those shows.
But yeah, when it came to that, you know, like, we just started playing, it was like here and there. It wasn't really like a thing. And then like a few years later, you know, I moved to Chicago for a little bit and, kind of stopped everything. And then I came back, I guess, 2006, 2007. And we started playing. We did like a show. Someone said, "Hey, you want to play a show?" And we're like, "Sure." I mean, we only have four songs, but we'll play it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it became a thing that we started
slow and repeated. Yeah.
And then we're like, you know, we know those four songs and that, you know. I mean, it's like a crazy story, man. Like, I'm really losing all track about everything right now.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff that happened. Because like after then left the band, we had our friend Chelsea. She was a friend of ours that lived in the dorms, because we're all at the dorms and whatnot. And so she started playing bass for us for a while. She was actually the bassist during Harmless Holiday. And then after a while, we didn't have a bassist. So my other band that I was playing drums with, Checkers, that's how we call him, Checkers. And he played bass for us as a fill-in. But it was like one of those things, again, like, we didn't really like practice or anything. We had like four or five songs, and then like sometimes someone would ask, "Hey, you want to play a show?" I was like, "Okay." And then like I would go to like Checker's dorm room and be like, "Hey man, we're playing a show in like half an hour, we better get down." And he'd be like studying and be like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah." That's and I funny. Come down like, yeah, like it's like downstairs.
You know what I mean? You never even told him you guys were playing.
Yeah. And that's then like
fucked. So no wonder he quit.
Well, he wasn't really in the band. It was just there, you know. It was just like a friend that learned like the songs a couple of times, and the same thing. That's how Joe got in the band too. We were playing another show. Yeah, it's like because like I was still during college. I was still traveling back and forth through Puerto Rico, when I wasn't in school, and there was a summer that I actually stayed to take some summer classes, which, by the way, I failed all of them.
you don't have to admit that, Enrique. No one's going to be checking your records on it.
Hey, it's all right. I mean, I think it's funny, though.
I'll delete all that. No, so you fucking crushed those classes and the band. Sick. It's so tough of you.
Yeah, no,
for sure. So stay in school, kids.
Yeah, stay in school.
Yeah, whatever.
And then we were playing this show. We have no bassist, obviously. Checker's not around. And then Joe saw the band was playing that show. I think it was called The Attractive Gentleman. At the point, it was like a punk band. And then
that is Joe. I hope you're listening. That is the worst name for a band. The Attractive Gentleman. I mean, Joe is an attractive gentleman, but still, like, come on, like a little humbleness, dude. Like, fuck me, dude. Come on.
Yeah. So the Attractive Gentleman. Yeah. So these Attractive Gentlemen were playing.
Was it a skinhead band? Because that sounds like a skinhead band name.
No, it's actually kind of funny. There's another Boston band called the Lovely Lads, and they were more like
get the fuck here, dude. Guess who we're not going to be playing on Dispatches this week? The Lovely Lads or the Attractive Gentlemen, you fucking nerds.
The Lovely Lads were actually pretty cool, though.
Not the Attractive Gentlemen? Wow.
They were both good. They were both good. Yeah, yo, it's going to be the way like that, like,
sorry, bro.
Like open mouth, like, wow.
Yeah, well, it's a terrible name for a band, Joe. I've come up with some bad names for some bands in the past, but Attractive Gentlemen, the Lovely Lads are the bottom of the barrel shit. Anyway, Joe is playing the Attractive
Gentlemen. Yeah, so like he's playing that show, and we like don't have a bassist, so we like actually teach him the songs like 20 minutes prior to our set, and then he just joins the band, and then ever after he was in the band. But actually, at this point, Nick still wasn't in the band. Wow. It was only a four-piece, so it was like the original three, which are Tim, Julius, and I. And then at that point, when Joe got into the band, he was like our third or fourth bassist.
Wow.
And then one time, we were writing this one song, and we were like, "Oh man, like I think this song will need a second guitar player." And we're still like practicing on college, and then I don't remember who in the band said, "Oh, Nick, this is Kid Nick. He knows all the songs. I know he knows all the songs. He's a really good guitar player." And then and we're like, and I always see him at our shows. He will like sing along. And when I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah." So I like, I know this kid. And then we were like, "Hey," like we just called him. It's like, "Hey Nick, we're practicing. I think we need a second guitar player. You want to be in Los Bungalitos?" And he's like, "Sure." Well, and we go like, "Oh hey, well we're practicing right now. Bring your stuff over." He just showed up, and then ever since he's been Nick Bungalito.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that's kind of how the lineup kind of came to be. So it took like 4 years for like this lineup to
that's so weird. Let me ask you. I think we actually have talked about this in the past personally, but just for the record, because I get this question all the time when I'm handing out Los Bungalitos flyers.
Oh, like, I know the question.
If I'm handing out, I know it's coming. If I'm handing out flyers like all torn up Los Bungalitos show, they're like, "Oh, Los Bungalitos, that's rad." Like, what does that mean? And I'm like, I think it's just a word. I don't really know.
It is.
Yeah, it's just a made up thing. It's just...
It is, but it also has a story.
All right, let's do the short version of that
story.
Okay,
the short version for this story. I really love the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. There was an episode, Spanish dub version, because I only watch it in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
It's even right. Funnier in Spanish. And on Vivian, is about to have little Nikki. But they didn't have a name yet, so she asked Will, "Hey, Will, what name should we ask, you know, should we name the kid?" And Will's, you know, song in Spanish is like, "Oh, you should name it something back to our African roots, something like Bungalito." And I remember hearing that, and I was sitting in my living room, I was like, "That's a cool word, I'm going to use it someday." That's it. Then when we started the band, there was like a lot of bands in Puerto Rico that were using Los, you know, like, or sure. Las as her name. So I was like, I want to be one of those bands. So like Los, and then I was like, "Los what?" And then I remember that word. It's like, "Los Bungalitos." Okay. Sounds like a punk band.
Fuck yeah.
So I'll use it. That's literally the whole reason.
Oh, that's great.
I can go on a tangent about that for a while.
So basically when I am in the future handing out flyers, I can be like, people are like, "What's the name?" They're like, "Oh, it's just like a fucking Will Smith reference."
Yeah.
All
you can,
cool.
You can straight
up
say that.
That's how it's going to go. Like, it is. Be like it Independence
is.
Day.
Sort of.
I also want to know, because we're gonna take a break in a second. I'm gonna listen to the song. I want to know the story behind Champs and Chumps.
Champ Chump.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is I love that song. I love it so much. I'm so glad you started that last set. You playing with that song. It's a fucking immediately. You're like, "Are you a champ?" It's so fucking catchy as fuck.
All right, so the whole story behind that song is very simple.
Perfect.
I really like
hip-hop. It's perfect for my crowd.
I really like hip-hop, and I was, like, really on a gangstar, like, kick at that moment. And then there's this song out on Step in the Arena that's called Execution of a Chump. And then I was like, that song stick to me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a song based off that song, and it's going to be called "Are You a Champ or Are You a Chump?"
So it's like Thunderdome stuff shit. It's like fucking, like, you're either going to fucking win it or you're going to be fucked up.
Yeah, but like, you know.
It's a good start.
Well, yeah, like, I want also to be like, I guess I want it to be like you know, like the whole like PMA shit, you know, like I was really into that at that time, you know, it's like, oh, you know, like you can do it, man. Stay positive, you know.
All right, so this one, so the song is essentially a hybrid between like hardcore PMA and gangstar like hip hop,
basically.
Okay, so that's
a lot of the time. A lot of the times I say that this one goes out to Gangstar, Rip Guru.
So it's like a fucking Los Bungalitos sits in this ultimate crux between like straight up hardcore and like Will Smith and hip hop. It's a weird, this weird like constant thread.
Yeah.
All right. So this here it is. Here's Los Bungalitos covering Gangstar's Champ Chump. All right, get down. All right, let's take a break before we get to the rest of the discussion with Enrique from Los Bungalitos and play another song from Los Bungalitos. This is from an album they put out a few years ago. I think it's my favorite track on the album, but I really do love this whole album. This is the first song on the album. It's called Champ Chump, and I think it breaks things down pretty clearly. We talked a little bit about the song already, and I think you're gonna fucking dig it. And if you don't, I guess you're a fucking idiot. I don't. Maybe you're not idiot. I guess your tastes don't match up with ours. But yeah, that's not fair for me to say. You're probably not a chump. But the title of the song implies that you might actually be. I don't know. Los Bungalitos song is not mine. Anyway, here's Champ Chump by Los Bungalitos. Get down. Are you a champ? Like the white trash accent that pervades like every it's like no matter where you're from in America, there's this white trash accent. Like you could be from the Northeast or like the deep South, like Florida. Like you could have lived on Staten Island. Well, maybe Staten Island's a little bit of a, you could have lived in like fucking New Hampshire your entire life and go down to Florida
south of the Northeast.
And it sounds exactly like your cousin sounds exactly the same. Like you're from different parts of the fucking world. And your white trash shit still sounds like, how the fuck is that possible in 2018 that you crackers can sound exactly the same just because you're fucking methed out? Like, it's like a meth accent at this point.
I guess that's the best way you can describe it. Like, I don't know.
You fucking just, my teeth rot out and I just watched, like, I don't know, old episodes of The Cosby Show or something my entire life. I don't know what they're watching. Yeah. But they're just fucking, you know, they're all Trailer Park Boys. It doesn't matter where they're from. They're from Trailer Park.
It's Alex Jones, man. It's all the Alex Jones.
Alex Jones rots their brain. Yeah. That might be true.
Yeah.
We can blame Alex Jones for a lot of shit because the guy's a fucking dirty, filthy scumbag of the highest level. But this hillbilly methed out conspiracy has been going on for like 40 years. So we can't blame him for that.
I know. But
so,
still.
I mean, everything else is pretty much his fault.
He just hyped it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's true. He fucking like solid. He's like put that shit in concrete or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we didn't talk about it until Alex Jones.
Yeah, exactly. It is weird though. If people, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, fuck Alex Jones. But there must be some sort of conspiracy where like hillbilly, white trash, methed out fuckboys are like all agreeing in some back room somewhere like, yo, we're all going to talk like this. I don't know what the fuck we're all saying. They're all going to be confused. The hell? They're all going to be confused. Who the hell?
We're going to drive pickup trucks.
Anyway, that was the worst. That was the worst.
Hey,
I told you I kind of make
you just
accents.
Sounded like me. You're just like, we're all going to drive pickup trucks. That was a Joey Steele accent. I'm right here, Enrique. What the fuck?
Hey, I just told you I kind of make accents in English, man. I cannot.
I mean, when I'm in the room, it's like, you know, on the way over here, it's fine. But like, oh, don't make fun of Joey's accent. He sounds like a fucking like Swedish hillbilly or something. And then he just did it to my face. All right. We didn't plan on making. If you're a meth head, please don't send me a message saying like, oh, that's not what I actually sound like. We didn't mean to fucking blow up your shit. You're probably not an Alex Jones. It's fine. You're probably super cool. It's all good. Let's talk about something, whether you're hooked on meth or you're from some fucking this weird ass holler in New Hampshire or Kentucky. No matter where you're from, you're going to fucking dig this new Los Bongolitos album, I feel like.
Oh, thank you.
I think that's true. Okay. But, you know, after I just disenfranchised like the entire Los Bongolitos crowd of meth heads, I don't know if I could fucking say that.
I don't know. I think we made a few fans in like corn country, Ohio, actually.
Yo.
Back in your land.
I can't take responsibility. Alex Jones is more responsible for that land now than I am. Okay. That's one problem he's got. Let's talk about the new album. Let's talk about it briefly because we only got a couple minutes left. I want to get to some other crazy shit. What's the name of the new album?
It's called Nueva Inglaterra.
People in Ohio are going to have a problem with that. They're going to get confused. They're going to be like, it's called Inglaterra. What the fuck? Is it a terror? Is it some sort of ISIS thing or what? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, basically, it translates to New England.
Okay, well, then they will be confused. Either way.
It's like, even more.
So tell me about the album. Like, how do you feel like it lines up with, like past Los Bongolitos? Is it a little harder, a little fucking faster, a little crazier?
You pretty much said it, all of them. So yeah, it's definitely faster, heavier, and also, I mean, like I would say, lyrically, it's a whole different approach. Like I just went different approach. Like for the most part, I went the whole good old generic, like, oh yeah, I'm a positive person, I guess, to whatever extent. But, you know, it's always that whole thing where, like, I'm like, you know, I've always had these, like, I guess, you know, political views, I guess. I've never really expressed them anywhere. But, you know, I was like, you know what? I think it's time, you know. Yeah. I don't think it's like I shouldn't just, like, step back behind that, you know. So I have a platform. Let me just share it, you know. That's basically it.
Why did you decide now was the time? Well, you know, I mean, you've never, in my experience, you've never shied away from that. So I don't know if it's, you know, it's like, changed as much as, you know, consciously choosing to write about it explicitly, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's that. I mean, it's also, like, that thing, like, I was telling you earlier, like, we kind of were, like, more like a... like a side project or side project. It was like a more like a fun thing to do. You know what I mean? So like the original, like, I guess, like idea behind Los B wasn't really like a serious in the sense of like, you know, what we're singing about, what we're doing. It's just like, okay, you know, we're not playing with our bands list this weekend. Let's just have something fun. You know, it was like, you know, it was mostly about, you know, like, I guess the fun aspect of punk and hardcore, you know what I mean? Like, let's just do these ridiculous songs but also make it like funny and welcoming, but not, you know, like stay like kind of like right neutral. You know what I mean? You know, like people know what we're into, you know, what we're about, but I think, you know, to me, it's like more like, okay, let's just like, you know, now that we're, I guess, like settled in, you know, like I was like, I'm older. I don't want to like, also, I don't want to sing about partying. I don't care about parties anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I want to like sing about like what's real to me. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, let's just go for it. You know?
What do you feel like is some of the themes that you're trying to hit in, like some of the bigger issues that you guys are coming at? Are there themes that you feel like you're trying to go at in this, or are there a couple of songs that you feel like kind of, you feel like speak to you more politically that you're dealing with in this album?
I think everything. I mean, like a lot of, to me, is comes from the whole, like, you know, environmental issues in a way, but also like colonization is like a big aspect, you know what I mean? Like growing up in Puerto Rico, like a colony, you know what I mean? Like invaded colony. And also the relationship, basically, you know, like I have in being in law, for example, like a place that pretty much originally got rich from the cotton of the South. You know, they weren't like the slave, quote unquote, owners, but they were like, all their money came from the money from the back of slaves, you know, yeah. all the cotton picking and all that stuff, because they were like the textile, mm-hmm. you know, and all that stuff. So
right, the low factories are textile factories.
Exactly, same yeah. thing though. Like New England was famous for like, you know, rums and all that stuff. That all that sugar came from Caribbean plantations, Puerto Rico included, you know, and all that stuff. So you know, like in a way, like how like even though technically, you know, the Caribbean, at least the Latin Caribbean, was not really part of the English world or the British world, then it's all connected anyway, you know, with the Spain and everything. So, you know, we just kind of played a little bit around that, you know. That was kind of like our thing, kind of like relating all these things that usually are not really thought in the same context, you know, because like, you know, you think about, oh, you know, U.S. history, but you don't think of Latin American history in the context of U.S. history type thing. So it's also like that historical approach. Yeah, like, yeah. Like it was like, I guess, like the best way to explain it actually without redundancy is like kind of like a historical approach to like where we're at today, whether like it's like, you know, environmental issues, whether it's like, you know, regular social issues, etc. You know,
the flag, the cover of the album and the flag is an environmental statement. Like how does the image of the tree like relate to all this? Is that the environmental issue?
Well, actually, that's a great question. So basically, like back in the day, you know, like 1800s, even colonial times, I guess, there was like this whole thing that was the flag of New England. You know, it was like more like a naval flag or whatever. So, and actually, like you know, like a soccer team, the New England Revolution, uses it as a kind of one of the logos, which was like a red flag. Had the little square with a pine tree.
Oh, okay.
That was like the New England flag.
I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like a few versions of it, but that's like kind of like the more common, you know. But what we wanted to do with this,
so that that pine tree symbol is like a New England thing.
It's like the New England. Oh, okay. Like, it's on the New England flag, and it's actually kind of interesting. Not a lot of people know about this, even in the New England area, right? But I'm like I like a lot of reading history and all that stuff, so I kind of learned about that. But then also we wanted to mix it with the Puerto Rican Revolutionary flag, I guess original, which was the Grito de Lares flag, which is you know, it has like a kind of white cross in the middle, and then it's, you know, has like a star on the left too, instead of a tree, and it basically is like a mix of those two flags. So you have the blue and the red are from the Lares flag, and also part of the New England flag. The tree is definitely from the New England flag, but you know, and then the black, you know, like anarchism and all that stuff. And like I'd say, no, like I consider myself an anarchist, but like not all my bandmates are. Sure. But you know, like it's like a thing, like a little thing within all of us, you know.
It's nice to be part of a group that can respect each other enough to have that diversity, you know. It's not that common. And I appreciate, you know, that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's pretty, like there's some real consistent workings of like a historical way to look at things, and bringing that pine tree symbol into these interconnected symbols of the colors and the flags. That's pretty interesting how that all wove together. I mean, how the environmental issue, I mean, that's, you know, I think a lot of people on the left, I don't even know, like a lot of liberals, a lot of leftists, I don't really even know. I feel like everyone's sort of given up, actually, on the environmental issue. Like, you know, despite the fact, you know, they've had like large marches, it's really just the hardcore people on the left, not like musical hardcore, but like dedicated people on the left who are still talking about the environment, despite the fact that people, you know, there have been recent reports that like it's fucked. You know, the environment is fucked. Like within the next 40 years, we're talking about in serious environmental degradation to the level that people can't live in certain areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see this now with these crazy hurricanes. And we
you
see
tell
this,
me.
Yeah, exactly. And this horrible devastation in Puerto Rico that Trump says he's doing a fantastic job of fucking taking care of. You know.
Now Florida, too. Same
in Florida. But fuck Florida. I mean, I don't know.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, you could send me an email.
Hey, no, it's cool. I mean, like, I'm just saying that because
no, send me,
I agree.
No, send me send me your hate mail about my fuck Florida comments. Just hit me up. I'm at Los Bungalitos on Facebook.com. Just hit me up. Yeah. Send me all your hate mail there. No problem.
Sorry, I'll answer those.
No, I'm just fucking around. I think anyone from Florida is just used to it at this point. but I just feel like there's so much placated, talk about needing for a better environment, but at the same time, no one really is doing anything different. Like, no one's behaving differently toward the environment. Everyone's like, yeah, it's all fucked. I'm just going to throw my fucking Snickers wrapper on the ground. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yeah, it's a quite interesting thing. I mean, and the thing is because, this is my own personal perspective. It's like this whole, like the more liberal, which is the dominant, at least in our Northeast bubble, I guess, ideology, it's like there's so much hope about everything, about this whole if we really think about this, someone's gonna come to their senses, you know what I mean? And then the hardcore people are so few and left that that they have zero effect on it. Yeah. I guess, I guess I think that's my own perspective on it. But yeah, I mean, it is. I see that too, everywhere, there's I guess that's the only thing I have to say about it. I just thought about it and just went blank because there's nothing else really.
It's an ugly.
There's this hope about everything just fixing itself.
Well, let's go to that place with Los Bungalitos then. So, it's Joey Steele. I don't really understand the party mentality. It's something that's never I don't get it. I'm just a fucking miserable, curmudgeon of a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Barely ever has fun. I'm just a horrible person. Good thing I'm in entertainment, everybody. But, as folks who party as hard as anybody, coming in and making a more political album or one that's putting out more
ideas.
Four
out of the five. I'm usually in the van, reading something or, sleeping.
Yeah, but y'all have fun as fuck at shows. Pound the fun. So what do you feel like you want folks coming out of a Los Bungalitos show feeling politically? Is there hope in terms of the message you're trying to bring? What is it that you want people to come out of feeling out of a Los Bungalitos show now as opposed to 10 years ago? Is it different? Is it the same?
I think empowerment, I guess, is the best way that I can, the best word I can use. For example, unlike you, I'm not a person, I have all these ideas, but I'm not the speech person, a lot of the times I come into this thing that I'm I'm going to say this and it's going to be freaking awesome, whatever. And then all of a sudden I'm go blank. So to me, it's more read what I'm singing about and I'll give you a little bit about what the song's about. Come talk to me. Let's just talk. Cause I think I'm better in a conversation style than when 100 people are looking at me. I don't know what to say,
Word.
It's kind of funny that you say that because our last show of tour was September 23rd, which is actually the day of El Grito de Lares in Puerto Rico. And I really wanted to say something about it at that show. And I completely got out of focus and forgot. And then the next day, I woke up and I'm like, fuck, I really wanted to go on a rant about that. And I forgot. And it's to this day, it's still killing me. You know what I mean? That's the type of person I am. I just want you to come always invite people. I don't know if you notice a lot of times, I say something and say, just come to me after. Because that's the way I am. I prefer just to have a conversation with you after.
I mean, no one ever wants to talk to me after the show. Do people come up to you and talk to you after the show? Because I feel like a lot of people, especially hardcore crowds, are like, I'm not going to talk to that dude. They were just bonkers up there. I'm just terrified of these people.
I've had conversations with people, not necessarily at the show, but then later. Yeah. If they add me on on Facebook or social media, then I have a conversation with them through, Messenger or whatever, instant message chat via whatever thing you do. And but yeah, that's about it. Or sometimes somewhere else, you mentioned this, let's talk about this. That's kind of if I do that effect, I guess, you start thinking about it. But to me, the real goal is listen to what, I guess, listen to the words or read what I'm singing about. It's like, you know, because like there's this thing and it didn't happen to me all along. You know, like I will sing all these songs of bands that I liked and I love what they're saying because it sounded awesome, but I really did not know what they meant.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's like, so that's kind of the thing. It's like, just like you can sing along to it and have fun, but also think about what it's saying.
Let's end this episode by talking a little bit about something you were talking about earlier and something you just briefly mentioned, Puerto Rico, just for a second. Sure. I'm not saying that Enrique is the ambassador for all things Puerto Rico, but, you know, you were talking about Los Bolitos is bringing out this issue around environment. And, you know, obviously there's been this horrible devastation that's still to this day, like, not only traumatizing in Puerto Rico, but devastating in Puerto Rico. The infrastructure has just been eviscerated. You know, Trump doesn't give a fuck. Obviously, Trump doesn't give a fuck. But it just doesn't seem like anybody other than Puerto Ricans give a fuck at this point about what's going on in Puerto Rico. Like, no one really doing anything except for people who are from or have heritage in Puerto Rico.
Man, it's really hard to answer. I mean, it's like, from my perspective, and like I said, I can only speak from my own perspective. You know, it's like people over there, there's some people still that care. There's definitely people that care and they want to do some stuff and are doing stuff. There's organizations.
Keeping it together.
Yeah, keeping it together. For sure. A lot of organizations. But then there's also like a lot of people that they just either don't give a shit or pretty much are so dependent on the system or like are so hopeful that the system is actually working, or they really want to believe that the system's working, that they don't do anything because they say, or they don't feel it's a responsibility. I think like it's like a lot of people, it's like even here, you know, it's like, I think it's like everywhere. Like a lot of people, they just think their only responsibility or social responsibility is just to go out every 4 years and vote. You know what I mean? So like, I think that's where people are at. Okay, this administration is proven they haven't done anything. Well, I guess we have 2 years of this until we can select someone new that to do that. And that happens, you know, there's definitely community organizations. There's like a lot of like local like agricultural organizations, like, and not only tackling those issues, it's like a lot of things that came out of that, you know, like, in all different social issues, not only like the infrastructure per se, you know what I mean?
Do you think, I know this is a big ask for you and it's inappropriate for me to ask, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you feel like in terms of the people you know in Puerto Rico and people who are organizing or anyone you know from there and how they're looking at the hurricane situation and looking at the climate change, do you think that after the hurricane, I know they're dealing with a bunch of like real shit, but you know, it's been a little bit of time. Do you feel like people are more concerned now for climate change or, you know, the devastating effects that like these huge economies and their horrible consumption of fucking materials are having on the climate? Or do you feel like it's pretty much kind of like back to the run of the mill? You know, people are sort of like, the people you know are back to just like, all right, we just got to get by day to day things. Or are people talking about the environment more? Like,
I wouldn't know. I mean, like, for me, I grew up in a family where my mother was an environmentalist.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, like, for me, it's like I've heard it since I was a little kid. You know what I mean? Like, my mother in our hometown, she actually started the city's recycling program. She designed it. So, like, I've been involved in that throughout my whole life. And that's actually part of why I do my current job, which is, like, you know, food access, environmental issues, too. But that aside, you know, I guess it's a thing that's very well known. Like, even both sides of the aisle over there, I don't think it's kind of like here that like the right wing is very denial about it. Over there, there's like, growing up in there, I mean, I left there like in the mid 2000s. So there was like an acceptance from both the right wing and the left wing about climate change, at least to some degree, and about like preserving the environment. The problem is, you know, like 99% of our money comes from foreign investors. So, like, they don't give a shit about it. So, like, and then also that's, like, you know, so it's like that thing, like, how much can you do or what can they do when all this funding or whatever comes from people or entities that pretty much are all against it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's always been there. I mean, like, I think a big problem It's like we had been very lucky though for a really long time that we never really got like a big storm hit us like that in, since like I was in high school, right? So a lot of people were very skeptical that this was actually gonna happen. Like,
oh really?
Mm-hmm.
So people didn't think that there was gonna be the storm. They were like, oh, it's gonna pass.
It's gonna, well, like, yeah, like some people were like, or like, yeah, it's gonna, it's like, you know, we had some storm, like a big hurricane that weakened a lot before the hit. So yes, it was like some damage and stuff like that. But like a few weeks later, we're back to normal.
Yeah. Haiti or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like no one really expected it to be like this. I mean, like, no, I won't say no one.
Yeah, but
a lot of people. Like, I know people that were just kind of like, don't worry. Like, I have a friend of mine was gonna come visit. I was like, I'll see you in a couple of days, man. This is just gonna go by, like, you know, because he was supposed to travel the day of the trip. You know?
Wow.
And that happened. You know, like. And it's like that. And there was like a lot of people that weren't really prepared for it.
Yeah.
But there's also the people that were all definitely prepared for it. But even some people that were prepared were kind of skeptical. But
yeah,
it's kind of one of those things. Like, it's like we were lucky. There was a lot of generational gap. Like, a lot of people had never really experienced a storm like this before either. You know, like the last time that like I was like 14, 15 when something like that happened. So it's been over 15 years since like a big storm came. So that's like a big thing. I mean, I wasn't there, but
yeah,
there's like a and that's all I can tell you from my perspective. I cannot speak for anyone else.
Also, that wasn't there. Also, it's kind of a shitty question, right? Because I'm not asking you about Lowell, Massachusetts, and how like people in Lowell are more concerned about climate change when they get buried under fucking 18 inches of snow every fucking, like, or 18 feet of snow every fucking 2 months in that fucking shit old town.
Sometimes every other week.
Yeah, so for real. So, like, it's not like people in America are more conscious every fucking season that they get blasted with extreme weather conditions. No one's going back to their fucking, like, their house and like, oh, you know what? Let me rethink how I think about this now that, like, my cat's dead from fucking heat exhaustion.
Well,
like,
that's the other thing, though.
Buried by 18 feet of snow.
Because a lot of these people are like, oh, it's global warming. They still cannot relate global warming to winter.
Yeah.
So if it snows, it's like, you see, it's still snowing. Yeah. Doesn't mean everything's happening. Yeah. So you're still having winter. It's like,
climate change,
like,
you fucking idiots.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Climate is not, you know, weather is not climate, you know, whatever, warming, you know, can be. Yeah, it's crazy.
Fuck those people and fuck Trump and fuck those people again. Listen, more importantly, how can people get the new Los Bungalitos record? And they can get the it's on a 12-inch, right? It's on a 12-inch. It's not a full-length record. Yeah. Where can they get the record? Where can they get
They can get the record on through our Bandcamp, which is losbungalitos.bandcamp.com, and also I think Constant Disappointment Records. I forget there.
Yeah. I'll edit in whatever the correct thing is. Yeah,
I know it's Constant Disappointment Records. I use another website.
Oh yeah, that's fine. If you don't know that website, look it up. What the fuck? How don't you know?
Google,
that
man.
Yeah,
Google.
Hello.
Google's pretty weird, but you'll find the answers. Yeah. For you. But it's right. Also on Amazon Music, iTunes, whatever you other. What's the other one thing of the internet?
Spotify.
Yeah. It's in there. Yeah. That's kind of funny. That's where I listen to it the most.
Yeah.
And I was like, where can you find it?
No, they don't need our support. They're not supporting this podcast. Fuck their name. I don't give a shit. Sweet. So but most importantly, go to the Bandcamp, buy the record, get some merch from them, support fucking a sick band from Lowell, Massachusetts, doing good stuff in the world, and hopefully convince them to tour in whatever town you're nearby soon. I think that we need to put pressure on them to come tour more.
Yeah, definitely.
Yo, thanks for coming out. I appreciate it. Man.
Thank you for having me.
And thank y'all. We have a crowd here hanging out, too. Thank y'all for hanging out. Los Bungalitos. See y'all in hell. Get down.
See ya.
All right, let's take a break for a second. Let's listen to a tune featuring multiple members of Los Bungalitos. Enrique is not in this band, but it is an incredible band. Tim from Los Bungalitos is in this band, the drummer. Julius, I believe, was in this band. And I believe Nick, who also plays guitar, is in this band, but I could be wrong. Aaron is doing vocals. It's an incredible band. If people have never experienced watching this band live, they fucked up. I'm not sure if they're back together again, if they're playing more shows or not. But this is a band called Hive Smasher. They're from Massachusetts originally, Aaron lives in New York City now, so I don't know if they're like if they're doing dual duty. But it's an incredible band, Hive Smasher. You're gonna love it. If you love metal and you love punk, I think this is like the quintessential band, I feel like, for our time. So here it is. Here's Hive Smasher from the East Coast. Still a band, I'm not really sure, but sick either way. Hive Smasher, get down. Christmas winter! Alright, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you to Enrique and Los Bangalitos for existing, and Enrique for coming over all the way from Lowell, Massachusetts to do this show. I want to apologize to Lowell, Massachusetts. Some things that I said during that podcast may have come off as shit-talking, because that's like how that's my style, and I didn't mean that to come off that way. I do actually really enjoy your town. I really enjoyed Massachusetts. You've always been good to me and my band, so I am sorry if that came off that way. I did talk about my base, which is like hillbilly redneck meth heads, so I just want to be fair. I did do a fair shit talking of my social connections as well, so you know it wasn't just against y'all. So anyway, Lowell, thank you for producing such incredible musicians and supporting and hosting Los Bangalitos for so long. Hopefully Los Bangalitos will be touring the country more and more and more. They are genuinely, I think, one of the best bands in the country. I know I say that a lot, and I do actually mean it, because I get to host this podcast and bring on so many people I admire and so much music that I dig. If you have not checked them out, we played two songs on the show today. But please go to their website, losbangalitos.bandcamp.com. Get their music. I'm sure it's up there for I'm sure you can get like everything for like $10. You can probably get like fucking 50 songs for $10, which is both awesome and a shame, because I'm sure they're not getting any of that in reality, because it cost them an incredible amount of money to record that. But their sadness is your pleasure. So go get their music for very cheap and listen to it on repeat. You will dig it. Share it with your friends. Speaking of sharing with your friends, if you would also take the time, having listened to this whole podcast, please take some time, go rate this podcast on whatever you listen to it on, whether it's iTunes or some other service that somehow we ended up on. Please take some time, write a review, post about this show on social media. We have no advertising budget. Sadly, very few people know about this show, and I think it's an incredible show. Obviously, I think it is. And if you agree on some level, let people know about it, because that's the only fucking way anyone's going to find out. We need more underground news and shows out there, and I think Dispatch from Underground is a unique voice that's adding to our world in wonderful ways. But I could be wrong. If you in part agree, please go let people know. There's a donate section on our website, dispatchestheunderground.com. There's a subscription section. There's a merch section with our brand new record and t-shirts and everything else. Go on there and fucking get all your holiday shopping done or whatever, your Easter shopping. I don't know what the fuck holidays are coming up. Who cares? Get all your shopping done for all the birthdays you don't even care about celebrating. Do something for you. Do something nice for yourself. Buy a bunch of our shit and donate a bunch of money. I think in the long run, you're going to be happier because you did it. And if not, that's fine too. Either way, just donate. I appreciate that. Either way, I should say the show will be free endlessly on our website. There's an archive section. You can get all those shows for free. You can continually listen to Dispatches. We have almost 400 episodes up. We've been up for almost 10 years at this point. And we appreciate everybody staying with us and getting the fuck down all the time. It means a lot. Anyway, you're done listening. This show is over. You can go back and listen to Spotify or I guess whatever after this. I don't know. We might be on Spotify too. So actually, you know what? Fuck Spotify. Listen to us all day, every day. We have enough episodes up, so you can do it that way. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for sharing. Thank you, Enrique, for getting down. Thank you, Los Bugalios, for this music. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, the gratitude makes me sick. I'm done. The show's over. Get down. We're going to end this episode with a song. I asked Enrique what song he wanted to listen to, and he said he wanted to listen to a song by this hip-hop musician, Intifada. Intifada from Puerto Rico. This is a song called Nuevo Mundo, New World, from Intifada from Puerto Rico. And I asked Enrique what song he wanted to listen to. This is the song he wanted to listen to. He says he loved this song very much. Enrique says that one of the reasons he wrote the album that he has is because of this song and this artist. It had a lot of influence on him. I was hurt that All Torn Up didn't have more influence, but I guess it sort of makes sense that like an incredible musician would actually have that. So makes a lot of sense. Anyway, this is a song that has inspired Nueva Inglaterra by Los Bungalitos, and it is called Nuevo Mundo by Intifada from Puerto Rico. Here it is. Get down.
Y'all see. Intifada. A través de las venas abiertas de mi América Latina. Por lo anterior, para lo sucesivo, y por si acaso no fui claro en lo vertido, he dicho el pulso de mi lado colectivo, he puesto bombas en el sitio definido, he sido el niño de toda furia ajena, pues no sé cómo disparar una escopeta, escupo tinta con mi epístola de tierra, a las pistolas que trajeron carabelas, las que dejaron calaveras por estelas, por donde paso, piso y firmo esta novela. Y aquí Macondo con las venas son abiertas, y con su venia lo que digo manifiesta, una conciencia, un credo religioso, un sentimiento de caerse a la huidobro, por lo que obro basta y sobra con mi coro, el que me canta su armonía en su alboroto. El tiempo contraparte del silencio, es nuestro tiempo, reloj de tiempo muerto. Este es el tiempo para matar el tiempo, matar el miedo, nacer un mundo nuevo. El tiempo es contraparte del silencio, es nuestro tiempo, reloj de tiempo muerto. Este es el tiempo para matar el tiempo, matar el miedo. Al asesino de la flora y su raíz, al asesino de los dioses del maíz, al asesino del color en el matiz, al asesino de los barrios del país, le doy la paz como un yagrumo en crecimiento. Si hemos hecho un gancho para darle movimiento, las hojas blancas van naciendo en mi experiencia, y me he sentado a platicar con la violencia, civilizado como un sentir ciudadano, que es una ciencia que se sale de las manos, como Pilato me exonero de la culpa, pero este libro una ciudad en pie de lucha, y cuando surge el alboroto que le advierto, sabré pararme justo del lado correcto, y usted y su tanque, su mira de largo alcance, su reglamento que en esencia es como un cáncer, saldrán a darle muerte a aquello lo inmatable, coros de tripas en el concierto del hambre. El tiempo es contraparte del silencio, es nuestro tiempo, reloj de tiempo muerto. Este es el tiempo para matar el tiempo, matar el miedo, nacer un mundo nuevo. El tiempo es contraparte del silencio, es nuestro tiempo, reloj de tiempo muerto. Este es el tiempo para matar el tiempo, matar el miedo. ¿Quién soy yo sino un iluso libretista, de cuya firma se abre como parabrisas, y de mi lente, ventana de mi aliento, aliento lento a conquistar el alimento,
esto es un sueño, solo en mi punto de vista. Soy ciudadano del país de la utopía. Mis compatriotas con discípulos del odio, reconstruyamos al amor de los escombros. Un mundo nuevo es más probable si lo ves. Constituyámonos de la arcilla otra vez. Y desde cero comenzaremos de nuevo a dialogar con la violencia y su argumento. Que de su nombre principal destina miedo, como un Goliat desconfiado de lo ajeno. Por lo anterior, lo sucesivo es todo. Con siempre oído al escuchar un alboroto, los argumentos y reclamos en consorcio. Y en el momento la madre el que no haga el coro. El tiempo es contraparte del silencio. Es nuestro tiempo, de los de tiempo muerto. Este es el tiempo para matar el tiempo, matar el miedo, nacer un mundo nuevo. El tiempo es contraparte del silencio. Es nuestro tiempo, reloj de tiempo muerto. Este es el tiempo para matar el tiempo, matar el miedo, un mundo nuevo. Y a la hora de la hora, habrá dos lados en el sitio de la sangre. Habrá una línea y mil cobardes desertando. Habrá entonces solo un fuego repartido en el reloj de arena. Hasta entonces, divulguemos la noticia. Por un solo mundo, un nuevo sol, un mundo nuevo.